We offer a warm welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders on this fifth Sunday of Lent. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Many people believe preaching should entertain the listener. The problem is, God's Word is not always entertaining. That's what we're going to talk about today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, as we find ourselves deep in the Lenten season, facing the cross, but then the glorious resurrection, we pray that we may hear what your voice is saying through the Word. Grant, O God, that that inspired Word may be understood by the Holy Spirit's interpretation, and that we may realize that the gospel stands over it all, but there is also a law. There is a love of God, but there is also the righteousness of God. Give us grace to take this into our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 53rd chapter of the prophet Isaiah, beginning with verse 4. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, preaching in our day faces a dilemma. I am simply astounded at what some people call good preaching. For once in a while, I might have an acceptable sermon, but sometimes I have a sermon that is not too good, and they say, "Isn't it wonderful?" So I begin to take a look at that sermon and think maybe I ought to copy more like it. And what I find is the sermons that have a lot of illustrations and a little bit of humor are the ones that get first place because they entertain. I examined some of our worship services, and I'm not opposed to what is being done there in most cases, but I can see that it is aimed at entertaining. When I mention that to some, they say, "Well, you got to get them there, haven't you, before you talk to them?" And I agree 100%. But once they get there, we better tell them the full story. I hear some say that they have been taught, "Don't preach to bring discomfort." The question is that Jesus violated that rule, and there's none who could make you more uncomfortable than Jesus Christ himself. Many sermons are psychological dissertations, and then they are seasoned with just enough gospel to get by. But sermons should be biblical expositions with a strong theological base. Now, having gone this far in a sermon, you may be wondering, "Don't you feel well today, Pastor?" Yes, I do. But I want you to know that if I preach the text that has been assigned to me for this day, there will be little in it that is entertaining, because it is theologically based. And there are not very many illustrations, and I don't think there is very much humor. It tells us what God has demanded as a payment for our sins, but it tells us how much God loves us. Let me read for you again those words that I have already read. "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed." Now, that is not a very pretty picture, is it? Especially when I realize that it was my sin that did all of that. And may I ask, have you seen Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion? I hope you have. I have seen it twice, and neither time was I entertained. I didn't want to eat popcorn at that movie. And when people ask me what I think about it, I just don't know what to say. It's an extremely important movie. I think that it is well done, and faithfulness to the text cannot be questioned. But what do you say when you go to an ordinary movie? You come back and say, "Man, you want to see that, it's good," or "That was terrible, don't bother to go and don't waste your money with going." Not so with Mel Gibson's. I would say to every person, go. And when you get out, you probably have had enough for that day, because he is taking very literally what the Bible has to say. Jesus says that it is all here before you. Take God's word. I've just read that passage to you from the prophet Isaiah. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. That's the price of sin, my friend. The writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 9, verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It was necessary for Jesus to die if I was going to have the forgiveness of my sin. If I was going to experience ultimate wholeness, then I had to be forgiven, and that can only be done by Jesus Christ. Peter understood that. And what did he go around saying to the congregations? And what did he write to them? He writes, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty ways of life handed down to you from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish. And the Apostle John, who was right behind Peter, had much the same to say. He writes in his letter, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. To understand this text and what was happening at the cross, you and I have got to be truly convicted that it was our sin that did it. Or at least as we stand there reading these passages and looking at the cross, we have to know that it was because of our sins he was hanging there. There is no real meaning to these words, your sins are forgiven, unless you and I know that we are lost, helplessly lost, and condemned creatures. And that does not fit in to the culture of our day that is immersed in the psychology of humanism that tells us you're okay. There is no way that I can pay for my sins. James R. White, a well-known preacher in our day, writes a thought-provoking message in Modern Reformation magazine, and he uses his theme, Whom Does God Forgive? And then he takes us back to the 18th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. And there you have that familiar parable of our Lord Jesus of two men who went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other one was a tax collector, or some call him a publican. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, and he said, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And then Jesus says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Take a look at that, friend. Here are these two people, the Pharisee. Let me ask you, now this is not a very pretty picture either. Isn't there a little bit of Phariseeism in most of us? And now I'm going to go to those of us who are members of the congregations. And I'm going to go deeper than that. Isn't there some of that among you who are leaders in the church? I find it in myself. Isn't it found in the person who stands in front of the pulpit or in the pulpit, as well as those who are in the pews? Oh, I have belonged to this church for so many years. I've gone to church every Sunday. I used to play a little game with my confirmation kids, hoping that they would get through the first part of what I was saying to them. I would say, you know, just take a look at me. You know, it's really quite a privilege for you to take a look at me. Because look, here you see a person who doesn't swear. A lot of people swear. Here you see somebody who has never been drunk in his life. A lot of people get drunk. Here you see a person standing before you who always pays his taxes. Occasionally, we read in the paper about somebody who tried to cheat the government out of his taxes. Here you see somebody who is very faithful to his wife. I've been married to her for so many years, I used to say to these little 14-year-old kids, and their eyes got bigger and bigger, and they wondered, what's he coming at? I've only had one wife, and I've been faithful to her. I have a friend who's had four wives and been unfaithful to two of them. And so I'd go on and on and on. And then I'd finally say, you know, that's the way we reason. But here you see a person who is filled sometimes with jealousy and envy and self-righteousness and all of the other terrible sins. No, it's no privilege for you to take a look at me. God be merciful to me. I am a sinner. I am a sinner. Until we come to that place, friend, it does us no good to hear the word of God say, I declare unto you the forgiveness of your sins. When inwardly we say, well, really, what sins, God? We've got our lives pretty well cleaned up, haven't we? We don't have to deal with that anymore, do we? Shouldn't we really begin to talk about something different than that? And Jesus in that gospel again and again keeps coming right back to that very central position that we can cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Apostle Paul, writing his letter to the Romans, was trying to get this same point across to them, as he declared, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth will be silenced, and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. And when we are conscious of sin, then God is ready to deal with us. And then God is able to use us. I go back to our church father, Dr. Martin Luther. What was it that brought Luther to the monastery? It was a conviction of his sin. But where did he become so convinced of it? He examined himself in the light of the law of God. And he simply knew he could not measure up to it. What was it that made him such a miserable creature when he got into the monastery? It was his sin. And he went to confession so long that they finally said to him, Luther, you have no more to confess. Go now. Go. When Luther finally found the answer, God revealed to him, let me say that, that's better, God revealed to him the answer that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. He began to understand what a free person was, what it was to experience ultimate wholeness. He could lay all of his sins on Jesus. And there would be peace. That I am saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, and none of my works contribute one solitary thing. The works that are found in my life that may bring praise to Almighty God are simply the fruit of faith, the fruit of that relationship. But I am reconciled to God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the cross is about. The forgiveness of sins is found in the cross, followed up 3 days later with the resurrection. But this is not where God wants to leave me, with a sinful heart that is driving me crazy with guilt. He wants us to experience this ultimate wholeness. He wants us to have peace and comfort and freedom from guilt. He wants us to close this Lord's Day, whether it has been in church or by the radio or the television, saying, I have heard once again. And the Holy Spirit has worked through both law and gospel, and I know that in Jesus Christ, my sins are forgiven. Christ has come. There it is, friend. I am guilty, but I am not without hope. I am forgiven. I am saved. I am restored into fellowship with God to be with Him for all eternity. It was for us that He was wounded and bruised. It was for us that He shed His blood. It was for us that He walked to the cross. Our sins are on the screen of God's computer. Christ atoned for those sins, paid the price. And as I find myself with that imputed righteousness which He alone can give, and when in the words and the spirit of the publican I cry out, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner, our Heavenly Father, in computer language, hits the delete key, and we are forgiven. Then there is wholeness. That, my friend, is the gospel. It may not be very entertaining, but that is a message which can bring you peace. That is a message that you can take with you to your bedroom tonight. Put your head on a pillow and know that in Christ all is well. And that is a message that can greet you tomorrow morning, finding a Father who comes to take you by the hand and walk with you through another day. And when you fail and fall in sin again, and you cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, He'll be there to lift you up, and you will have experienced ultimate wholeness. Amen. Father, as we get that picture of what Your Son went through for us, Whether it's on the screen, in a theater, or in the quietness of our home, with Bibles in hand. Help us to understand what you did for us. God, it is violent to be sure, but that's what sin causes. And grant that we may understand that it is the basis for the good news, that every last sin has been taken away. Christ has paid the price, and he offers us this salvation. Holy Spirit, come and work faith in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message give you a strong foundation for the week ahead. An honorarium gift is a gift in honor of someone special who is living. These honorarium gifts are most often given in honor of birthdays and anniversaries. However, any special day in the life of a loved one can be honored with a gift. We thank each of our listeners who have remembered Christian Crusaders for their gifts and prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 42 years.